Fasten your chin strap and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
Hour two of the EA Show on the Animal, coming at you live from Rusty Wallace Honda, I-75 Callahan Drive. Like always, leave the checkbook on the dresser. But this weekend, get to Rusty Wallace Honda because it's the 2020 upgrade event going on this weekend only. Brian, what can they do this weekend?
You can get an upgrade of your current vehicle for a similar 2020 vehicle for the same or maybe even a lower payment. It's amazing. And during the entire month of February here at Rusty Wallace Honda, take advantage. 3 years, no charge maintenance. That's a game changer.
Upgrade event today and tomorrow. Three years, no maintenance, no charge maintenance all month long here at Rusty Wallace Honda. Upgrade event today and tomorrow.
All right, 656-9900 if you want to join us here on the Eric Ainge Show. Let's go to the phones. Terry is up first. Terry, welcome into the EA Show.
What's going on? It's Buckeye Terry.
Hey, how are you?
I'm blessed. How you guys doing?
We're good, man. What's up? So,
now y'all got me on two things. One, with the Astros and this cheating stuff, man, we should just take the rings. Man, that's horrible. I wouldn't want nobody on my team to suggest we got to cheat to win. That means you don't have faith in us. You know, when I play sports, I play it for pride, man. I want to beat the crap out of you. I'm a crap talker. But I can't crap talk if I'm cheating. You know what I mean? It's just not the same. It don't mean anything. I want to go out there and beat you simplest, but I want to do it the right way. I want to win because I won. You know what I mean? I can't see that cheating stuff, man.
That's why I always say how you win and lose matters, man. It's cliche to say winning is the only thing that matters. Well, no, it's not. How you win matters to me. I mean, I take it a step further.
Yeah, you're right about that. But I also want to talk about, since y'all brung up this 7th-ranked defense for Tennessee, that's a joke to me, man. I don't know. This dude must have been paid under the table.
No, it's based 100% on statistics and returning players. It doesn't have anything to do with anybody's opinion. It's, if you're not familiar with Bill Connolly's work, it's based completely on metrics, not on opinion.
Terry, which you have to take with a grain of salt, because if you'd asked me sitting here right now if Tennessee has the 7th best defense next year, I'd say no. But they had a top 25 defense this year, I mean, against a lot of good teams. They weren't as good as Ohio State or Clemson or Alabama or Georgia. They're not in that top tier. But I think they're probably in the next tier down. We had a defense. Our defense was comparable to Florida's. It wasn't Georgia. It wasn't Bama. It wasn't Clemson. But it was as good as Texas A&M's. You know, it wasn't LSU. But it was as good as anyone in the Pac-12, anyone in the Big 12.
EA, check this out. I'm giving y'all my prediction right now on air, on the record. I ain't going to back talk it or nothing. I'm going, y'all going 6-6 next year.
Based on
the fact that y'all Tennessee, y'all going to find a way to screw it up.
Yeah, at least we don't have two players getting kicked off the team for being horrible, horrible, terrible people.
Also,
getting sent to jail for raping
people. If I'm not mistaken, you
I don't even know what you say to that. So if I were you, I'd hang the phone up.
If I'm not
Ryan
mistaken,
Day,
you predicted Ryan Day, four wins for Tennessee last year.
I give Ryan Day credit because Ryan Day stepped up and did what Urban Meyer and Ohio State would never do. And that is the right thing.
EA,
that's the right thing. That's
on.
The right thing. I give Ryan Day a lot of credit, too. And here's the other thing, too. I would love for Tennessee to get to a place where we were in the college football playoff. But if we did get there and we were good enough to be there, I would hope that we wouldn't pucker like they did against Clemson at the end of the ball game.
Oh.
And Ryan Day looked like a scared child against Big Bad Dabo. I wish I was good enough to get to that point. I wish our team was good enough to get to that point. We're not, but I don't have the illusion that my team is actually going to win a big game anytime soon, because that's not going to happen.
Oh, hey, I guarantee you we're winning it all this year.
You guaranteed Tennessee was only going to win four games last year. That didn't work out
for you.
Well,
Terry, your prediction on Tennessee means absolutely nothing to me. It means absolutely nothing. It means absolutely nothing to me. Your prediction on Tennessee means absolutely nothing to me. You call in and you spew nonsense.
No.
I liked your talk. I liked your Astros talk. But when you talk Vols, you're wasting my time. You're wasting my time right now. You're wasting my time.
I believe it, though. You know I believe what I'm saying.
Yeah, we know you believe it. It doesn't make it right. Terry, we appreciate it.
I believe that you're wasting my time.
Terry, we appreciate it. Let's go to Hitch next. Hitch, welcome into the EA show.
Don't waste my time like Terry did, Hitch.
Brothers, that won't happen. I'm going to tell you straight up, straight out of living in Columbus, Ohio for a year. And the way you define a Buckeye is a worthless nut. So that's how you want to be. That's the way he wants to be labeled. That's okay with me.
All right.
I got a kind of a different approach. It's not an approach. It's really a statement of just a statement, because Hank Aaron, number one, to me, will always be the home run king until somebody's not on drugs passes him. But I say in this World Series where Houston was cheating and they won the World Series, I put the blame on the other team. That was the Nationals that they were playing. Is that correct?
Yes. Well, this year, they were playing the Nationals, yeah.
This year, right. They were playing Nationals. I say if I let something like that be done to me, I get what I deserve. If I was on that team, I would be raising immortal, no doubt, hell. I'm not throwing a championship away because you cheated. But there's nothing done about it. So baseball gets what they deserve. Baseball, if it's not going well or not going right or there's questions and controversies – they have let this situation evolve. But, I put the Washington Nationals, if they're going to sit around and let it be done to them, then so be it. What do y'all think?
Well, the Nationals stepped up and beat them. You know, the Dodgers are the ones that were hurt by this because they were hurt by the Astros doing it, and then they were hurt by Alex Cora going to the Red Sox and instituting something similar with the Red Sox and having them win a championship and beat the Dodgers. So, you know, the Nationals, when you look at the splits of home and road for some players last year in the World Series, it's remarkable how much better they were at home. So, fortunately for the Nationals, they were able to overcome it and win. But, a lot of teams...
The Nationals won. It was Houston's one that's in trouble.
Right. And Houston still was doing it, and it didn't help him win the World Series this past year, but it did help him beat the Dodgers, and it did help the Red Sox beat the Dodgers.
What do you think about the concept,
the idea that if you let somebody do it to you, you deserve what you get?
I don't think they let them step up. There's no way that the Dodgers knew that this was happening, and they just kept going out there. I mean, that would be fisticuffs in the moment, in the game. I mean, it never would. I mean, guys, baseball players leave the dugout to fight over some chin music. Cheating like this, if they got caught while it happened, it would have been a better thing for baseball, but it would have been a terrible look because they wouldn't have been able to play the game. They would have been fighting the whole time. I mean, if people say that this isn't a big deal, then they just don't understand sports. And I'm not saying that in a negative, like in a bad way. I'm saying you just don't understand it, because the amount of time that goes into changing signals, trying to pick signals from that's why it's here today. I mean, even in high school, to watch a baseball third base guy give signals, I mean, it takes for 30 seconds for them to get out, take the next pitch. You know what I mean? Like in football, it just takes up, I mean, the entire thing, everything signals, it's sheets, it's calls, it's changing, poster boards, you're constantly trying to avoid the other team understanding what it is you're trying to do. So if you're picking a pitch, if you are telling the batter what pitch is coming, that would be the equivalent of, remember Jeremy Pruitt against Auburn yelling run left, run right,
yeah.
He'd figured something out. I used to do it. I helped a local high school team, and I just would yell blitz every time because I picked the signals, and I would yell blitz, and he'd get the ball out of his hand, and the kid torched people. Like, that's part of the game. If you're videoing it and stealing it and saying, fastball, curveball, splitter, fastball. Like, that is the equivalent of stealing signs and saying, run left, run right, taking a shot. I mean, like, of course you're going to win a football game if you know what the other team's doing every time that you go out there. I mean, if you just guess right, sometimes it's a 10-yard loss. Well, in baseball, know, it's the only thing that matters.
Parker on the group radio said it feels better if you sneak. I don't know if I agree with that, but I will tell y'all to y'all be cool. Have a great and a blessed day. Thanks for your time.
Hitch, we always appreciate
it. Thanks for not wasting my time, Hitch.
Absolutely. 656-9900 if you want to join us. When we come back, I'm going to give you the 9 NFL quarterbacks that are free agents this year. And, Eric, I want you to rank them top to bottom. Who you would sign.
Okay.
And you can place some conditions on it. We can talk about that when we come back. But I want you to rank them. That's next. It's the Eric Haines Show coming to you live from Rusty Wallace Honda. We are at the intersection of selection. I-75 and Callahan Drive on FM 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Welcome back into the Eric Haines Show on The Sports Animal. 656-9900 if you want to join us. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody out there. Guys, if that's the first time you've heard this today,
that's Valentine's Day. Yeah.
Valentine's Day. I got off easy this year with 3 kids and life the way it is right now. Neither my wife or myself has enough energy to go do anything real. So she wants some stools.
Oh.
So I'm going to buy her some stools.
Where are you going to go to buy some stools?
Probably Brown Squirrel, but I don't know.
Okay.
If there's an awesome furniture company that would love to
get
involved with the Eric Haines Show, they're more than welcome to.
Because we had some on the registry at the old Bed Bath & Beyond, but nobody bought them. So we actually ended up buying some at an estate sale, and Kelly refinished them.
Nice.
So she's big time like that. All right. The NFL is in a bit of a quarterback transformation right now. You're going to have a lot of guys that are in new spots, new places. Here are the 9
nominees.
The 9 quarterbacks that have started as an NFL team's quarterback that are now free agents. Tom Brady.
Okay.
Drew Brees. Teddy Bridgewater. Marcus Mariota, Dak Prescott, Jameis Winston, Ryan Tannehill, Philip Rivers, and Case Keenum. Case Keenum is kind of the one of these things doesn't belong here, but he has been an NFL starter, and he is a free agent. Now, Drew Brees, you can almost take off the list because Drew Brees has said that he will play for the Saints or he will retire. Dak Prescott is still under control of the Cowboys where they could franchise tag him, so he's not really a part of this discussion because he's not really a free agent.
Undoubtedly
he's a Dallas Cowboy next year. Everybody else on this list is completely unbeholden to the team that they played for last year. In the cases of Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota and Philip Rivers, they will definitely not be back with the teams that they were this past year. You can include Brees in this or not, and you can include Dak in this or not. If you're a general manager in the NFL and you have the salary cap room to go get a quarterback, who on this list do you go get?
But I also think Tom Brady's off the list. I know that he's not technically, but I would bet everything that I own that he will be a New England Patriot.
If you're building
year.
A franchise, would you go for him though? Because I don't think he's the guy that's gonna tutor a young guy, and you know he's probably not gonna play more than 2 years.
There's not a guy on here that I want to build my franchise with that's available.
Okay.
So I think that needs to be said.
So you're 100% in this is a 2-year plan. Who do you go get on your 2-year plan?
I still would go get Tom Brady. I think if I had a team that resembled the Patriots from last year, then I wouldn't go get him. But I also would have the awareness as a manager to know that I don't have a winnable product around any quarterback then. If Tom Brady isn't good enough to make up for some deficiencies that you have in personnel, then nobody is. I mean, if you took Patrick Mahomes and put him on the Patriots this year, they're not winning the Super Bowl. I mean that. If you took Tom Brady and put him on the Chiefs, they probably would win the Super Bowl. Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins and the second best tight, maybe arguably the best tight end in the league, Travis Kelce. I think that there's some fundamental things that they need to fix around him. But just based on who the quarterback is, if we're saying Team X, okay, and Team X has a good enough defense and a good enough offense and some players around them to have some success, because I do think a lot of it's fit, right? We talk fit all the time. We talk coaching, all that stuff. I think it's that. But I would pick Brady 1. I would pick Rivers 2. Again, we're talking a couple years worth of playing right here, max. Breeze and Dak are off the list. So then it comes to Bridgewater, Mariota, Winston, and Tannehill.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to lean towards Teddy Bridgewater. I'm probably going to see, I struggle with this because Winston is a specific type of quarterback, as is Mariota.
Yeah.
Like Ryan Tannehill could probably go in somewhere like he did last year and do okay.
Yeah.
But if Ryan Tannehill has to win you the ball game like Jameis did for Tampa Bay, then Ryan Tannehill wouldn't have been any better than Jameis Winston this year. He may not have thrown 30 picks, but it would have been Dolphins Ryan Tannehill. It wouldn't have been Titans Ryan Tannehill. Okay. So I lean over Winston over Tannehill. If everything's even, because Winston could hand the ball off and throw the ball on a fade or a flat route every once in a while too.
Okay.
So I'm going to go Winston 4, Tannehill 5, Mariota 6, Keenum 7. So it's Tom Brady, Phillip Rivers, Teddy Bridgewater, Jameis Winston, Ryan Tannehill, Marcus Mariota. And the reason all of those rankings have to have a little asterisk by all of them is because if you said who should be the Titans quarterback next year, Ryan Tannehill or Jameis Winston, I would say Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
But I have him ranked behind Jameis Winston in my rankings. So it just kind of depends on what team.
Okay, here's mine. Tom Brady's, of course, number one. But if you take Tom Brady out, Teddy Bridgewater's at the top of my list. I think among the rest of these guys, Teddy Bridgewater has accomplished the most as a starting quarterback. And I know that sounds ridiculous because you say Phillip Rivers.
He hasn't accomplished more than Phillip Rivers.
He has in the postseason. Phillip Rivers teams don't win.
Phillip Rivers has played for the Chargers his entire career.
At some point, that team should have been better than it was.
Maybe, but Phillip Rivers is a borderline. He has fringe talk about being a Hall of Famer.
He's also old and he's lost the fastball if you watched him play last year.
Which I did.
I think Teddy Bridgewater is better than him today. I actually have Ryan Tannehill in front of Rivers because of Rivers' drop-off, and nobody on his team ever likes him. So Rivers for Winston.
That's not true. He had 10 teammates tweeting and Instagramming things about how he changed their lives forever.
Yeah.
You can't say nobody likes
Phillip
Rivers.
Some people like Phillip Rivers. He's never elevated his team. He's played well. He's never drug his team to the next level of success. So then Mariota 6, Case Keenum 7, because Case Keenum.
Yeah, Case Keenum's not. He's not on the list.
No. But he was technically on the list because he's been an NFL starter.
Phillip Rivers didn't look any different throwing the ball to me last year than he did 10 years ago. Phillip Rivers has had a C-level arm his entire career. He pushes the ball. He doesn't sling the ball. He's not a slinger of the football. He's more of a pusher of the football. And he, in my opinion, has won at a higher level often throughout his career than I thought possible looking at the rest of their team and the rest of their roster. I mean, he just – if you took Phillip Rivers and put him on the Dallas Cowboys for the last few years,
yeah,
even with their problems on I think they're just as good, if not better, than they would have been with Dak.
Yeah, they probably are.
You know, is he Drew Brees? No. Is he Tom Brady? No.
But after
– I value his physical ability, I think, more than you do, which is where the disconnect is on that one. Yeah. I don't think his physical ability has waned, as you know, is gone as much as you do. But regardless, this is why the NFL is tough. There's only two quarterbacks on this list that are what I would call deficiency quarterbacks, meaning you can have significant problems,
yeah,
but they're just so good that they can get you out of those problems. And there's two Hall of Famers and one fringe Hall of Famer, but all three of those guys at this point in their career, to your point, are not going to be deficiency-solving quarterbacks. Phillip
right.
Rivers and Tom Brady and Drew Brees at this point in their career can't just use their mind and their ability to make you good enough if you have all these problems. All three of them, though, would be good enough still if they were on a team with all the pieces to get to that next level. I'm trying to think of a team that even is in the market for a quarterback that is close. I mean, it's probably the Patriots bringing back Brady and just solving a couple of their personnel problems on offense. They need a tight end and a big receiver. If they get that, then Brady's good enough to give people problems again. But if not, then I just like it's hard for me to knock Rivers, Breeze, or Brady with anything they've done in the NFL. But to your point, and this is why this is hard to do without picking a specific team.
Yeah.
If I had a team where I needed to go, I got a couple deficiencies, I need a quarterback dynamic enough to make up for a couple of them, then Teddy Bridgewater on that list and Jameis Winston, in my opinion, are probably the only two capable.
Yeah.
But you also have seen Winston this year. If you're going to ask him to do that, it's going to be hard for you to win enough games to be in a position. Because he could win you some games. He did, but he's going to lose them for you too.
Yeah.
Bridgewater can win them for you, and he hasn't really done a whole lot of the losing.
Yeah, he just got hurt.
I would put Bridgewater probably up at the top of that list. Tannehill is going to have to do it for more than a year for me to really respect his ability. He's got to do it for more than a year.
Welcome back, 656-9900. If you want to join us, what went wrong for some college football teams this year? We'll take a look at that next. It's FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. All right, it's the Coors Light climb to the championship. We're going to take caller number 5 right now at 656-WINS. Caller number 5 at 656-WINS. You will be a finalist in the Coors Light climb to the championship. We're giving away 2 all-session passes to the Men's Basketball Championship Tournament in Nashville, along with $500 spending cash to get you there. So caller number 5 right now, 656-WINS. And if you aren't caller number 5, you can come here and see us at Rusty Wallace Honda. We have the sign-up box, and we will pick 5 finalists at the end among those that come to sign up today.
And don't forget, it's the 2020 upgrade event at Rusty Wallace Honda, intersection of Selection, right here, I-75 Callahan Drive. That's today and tomorrow, the 2020 upgrade event today and tomorrow, where you could get the same, a current, similar 2020 vehicle at the same or maybe even a lower payment. And since that's during the month of February, today and tomorrow, like you can for the entire month of February, you get 3 years of no-charge maintenance with your new vehicle lease or purchase here at Rusty Wallace Honda.
All right, we go to the phones at 656-9900. Jacob is up next. Jacob, welcome into the EA show.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
What's up, man?
Hey, I just want to defend Ryan Tannehill a little bit. I was listening to you run down the list there, free agent quarterbacks. I think Ryan Tannehill's performance this year, and now this is my opinion, proved that the problem was with the Dolphins not getting him a proper help around him. He's been the starter all of about six games of his career in the NFL. And this year, the Titans had four of the highest offensive outputs in the NFL in the last 50 years. Now, I know what you're going to say. That had a lot to do with Derrick Henry. But we've seen great rushing attacks before, and it also had a lot to do with Tannehill's decision-making in the pocket, his arm, and his playmaking ability with his legs. And I don't have a problem at all with the Titans ponying up and paying this guy. I mean, I think he's a good quarterback. I'd take him over Bridgewater, Winston. I'd probably take him over everybody but Brady or Breeze. And I'll say one more thing about Rivers before I hop off here. Eric, if you're talking about putting Phillip Rivers in the Hall of Fame, you might as well say that Archie Manning belongs in the Hall of Fame too, because it's the Hall of Fame, not the Longevity Hall.
You're putting my words in my mouth. I never said that I think he's a fringe. I said conversation around Phillip Rivers is whether or not, like, that's the question. If you watch an ESPN talk show or anything, I know he got there once or twice. I know he didn't win any. I wouldn't vote him in the Hall of Fame. I mean, if you're asking me my opinion, I would. He's not a Hall of Famer.
Well, I'm just saying it because you brought it up.
I wasn't bringing it up to say that I think he's a Hall of Famer. I was saying the conversation is always around Eli Manning and Phillip Rivers, that they're fringe guys. I think Eli is. I think Phillip's not.
It's because Eli has two Super
Bowls where he was the MVP of both, and they were a wild card team in both. I mean, they had a hard road to hoe to get there. Eli, to me, is a Super Bowl. I mean, he is a Hall of Famer. Phillip Rivers is not. But I respect the consistency that Phillip Rivers has brought to the position at a bad franchise where people don't really care about their football. And if you're going to go to the left coast as a free agent to play football – that's the last team on the West Coast that you're going to go play for. I mean, you're going to the Seahawks, man. You're going to the 49ers. You're going to the Raiders. Now that'll be in Vegas. But it's the last team you're going to want to go play for. I mean, I think Phillip Rivers has had a great career. I respect it. I think Ryan Tannehill showed that if you have all the pieces like the Titans had this year, that he can be successful. But the reason I just devalue that a little bit is because, dude, Blake Bortles is good enough to do that. When they had the best running game and the best defense and some playmakers and all he had to do was not screw it up, quarterback style that if your team is in that position, then there's a lot of guys in the NFL that can have success on that team.
I'll disagree with you. I think if you look at the plays that were made and how the NFL metrics and everything broke down, just how good Tannehill was this year at fitting it into tight spaces, not just – you couldn't stroll just anybody out there this year and complete those balls. He was completing those passes because he was good. I mean, Blake Bortles has proven one thing and one thing only, and that he's a bust. And I'll agree with Brian's comment on Rivers. Rivers never elevated – anybody's play, a la like a Peyton Manning and Pierre Garçon. I mean, Peyton Manning got his wide receivers outside of Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison huge contracts.
But Jacob, you're talking about Peyton Manning. You're talking about Peyton Manning. We're talking about Phillip Rivers and Ryan Tannehill. You can't use Peyton Manning. I know, but I never said that Phillip Rivers was as good as Peyton Manning.
I'm not.
No one in their right mind would say that.
I'm not saying that. I'm agreeing with Brian and giving an illustration as a guy who elevated the play of the players around him and the guy that didn't. And Rivers didn't. I mean, that's just how it is.
But if that's the mark of what we're I just don't understand the relevance to what we're talking. Phillip Rivers not elevating the play. First off, I disagree with that. I think that he's had a few good running backs over the years, and when he had a good running back, I mean, they were in the title game. And when he had LaDainian Tomlinson and a good tight end and Antonio Gates,
won an AFC title.
That's why he's not ultimately he's not a Hall of Famer. I mean, he didn't get to the Super Bowl. He's not winning Super Bowls. I'm not saying that, but to say that Phillip Rivers hasn't been a top 10 NFL quarterback for the last decade is factually inaccurate.
I didn't say that.
Whether you would play him for this year, that's why I said the way that Brian laid it out is fine, but it's not the way that I would do it, because if you're picking per team, if you said who should be the Titans quarterback next year, I said that I think Ryan Tannehill should be the quarterback over Jameis Winston. But if you're just making me pick a guy and they're going to go to some crappy team that has a lot of deficiencies, Ryan Tannehill is not good enough to make up for any of those deficiencies. We watched it in Miami. It's just not how he's not built to do that. So that's fine. That's not a knock on him. Most guys aren't. I mean, there's number one picks that we're referencing here that aren't good enough. The only guys that are deficiency making up caliber quarterbacks are Hall of Famers. It's Peyton Manning. It's Tom Brady. It's Drew Brees. Saying that Phillip Rivers isn't one of those guys is not a knock on Phillip Rivers. He's just not one of those guys. But neither is Tannehill. Neither is Winston. Neither is Mariota. Neither is Bridgewater. Neither is Tannehill. Neither is Keenum. I don't think Dak is. Not at this point in his career. He's got a lot to prove. And we're talking about Hall of Famers that you can have deficiencies around you and they can make up for them. And then even those Hall of Famers, that's a short window in their prime where they can do that. Then you need to have other things around them for them to win the Super Bowl. I mean, look at Peyton for his career. I mean, God, he's getting a Super Bowl here, Super Bowl there, good enough to get there, but can't quite win it. Why? Because he literally has to do everything. You know, like Brady could do that early in his, you know, when they went away from being so great on defense in New England and in 07, you know, they're not losing any games. They're breaking records, him and Randy Moss. I mean, when Brady was in his prime, he could do all that. And when he had Gronk, he was still good enough to get you there and still good enough to win. But without Gronk, he's not good enough to win. And I'm not saying Ryan Tannehill isn't good for the Titans. I think Ryan Tannehill is good for the Titans. But if you think paying Ryan Tannehill $25 million or more and then losing a guard and then maybe having to pay that running back and then losing a tight end and losing one of your sideline-to-sideline linebackers because you can't afford these guys, he's not Russell Wilson. You're not going to rebuild a franchise around him after you start paying him that kind of crazy money. He's just not good enough to do that.
Jay, we appreciate it.
I appreciate the phone call. I never said Phillip Rivers was a Hall of Famer. He's not.
Yeah, it's
you got to go by team. I mean, Ryan Tannehill, of these guys that you listed, who would you put on the team? Ryan Tannehill, Jameis Winston, Teddy Bridgewater. I would too, especially if we're talking about having to pay any one of those guys $20+ million.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is if you're having to pay them a significant amount of money,
then they're not good enough.
The only people on the list that I would pay a significant amount of money right now are Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Dak Prescott, and Teddy Bridgewater. I'm not paying anybody else. I don't think Rivers still has it. I don't think Tannehill ever had it. I don't think Winston ever had it. I don't think Mariota ever had it. Teddy Bridgewater.
If Ryan Tannehill is asking for more money than Phillip Rivers is asking for, and it's significant,
yeah,
for a year or two, I would let that kid walk in a heartbeat, and I would just I'd get Phillip Rivers in there, try to continue to build the team around the next quarterback that's going to be there, and you draft appropriately.
I mean, let's remember with Teddy Bridgewater, if he doesn't blow out his knee on a non-contact injury, he is leading the Vikings to multiple playoff appearances because that Vikings team has still been good in most of the years since.
And
not every year.
He stepped in for Brees with a broken thumb this year, and he did a good job.
Absolutely. Welcome back. 656-9900 if you want to join us on FM 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Welcome back to the Eric Gaines Show on the Sports Animal, live from Rusty Wallace Honda, I-75 and Callahan Drive. Intersection of Selection. Brian Rice and I will be here for a little over another hour as we celebrate Valentine's Day. And the fact that it's Friday.
I think that's the most important part.
Man.
Friday.
I need today to be Friday.
Well,
I'm going to see if the wife will allow me to postpone Valentine's Day to like tomorrow or Sunday or something.
Probably. She probably will.
I can't wait for you and Kelly to have child or children, whatever it ends up happening in your house.
Yeah.
And I love the enthusiasm behind that answer, but I don't. And
you
wouldn't
make it sound
wish,
so appealing.
Wouldn't wish the teething phase on anybody. That's just not. I just forgot how it is. I mean, my kids are 9 and 6.
So it's been a minute since you've gone through this.
I forgot how hard having a baby is.
Yeah. It is. It's difficult, it seems.
She does wave to the phone now on FaceTime, though, and say, hi, Dad. Hi, Dad.
Well,
or hi, Dad. So that's worth it every time.
It's week two in the XFL. You excited for week two in the XFL?
I watched the first week, and I thought it was pretty good. I mean, I thought football was good, and I agreed with a lot of what Troy Aikman had to say, and Peter Burns and Tom Hart and a lot of guys who I respect, and I kind of agree. I mean, I think it's going to be a good ground for us as football fans to watch the different insights and different looks into different processes that they have and different stuff like that. Oh, I love your Houston Asterix shirt.
Yeah.
Astros cheer shirts.
It's good stuff.
Those are strong.
Good stuff. I like
those. Those are strong right there.
The XFL schedule is tomorrow, 2 o'clock. The New York Guardians are at the D.C. Defenders on ABC. Tomorrow night, 5 o'clock on Fox, the Vipers of Tampa Bay.
The Vipers.
And the Sea Dragons, or the Dragons, excuse me, of Seattle. And then Sunday.
It could be the Sea Dragons being a Seattle team.
Sunday. The Dallas Renegades and the LA Wildcats face off 3 o'clock on ABC. Tom Hart will have that one.
Oh, Renegades week two kind of dropped the ball in the first week. Can Bob Stoops get it done?
And then Sunday night on Fox Sports 1, the St. Louis Battlehawks and the Houston Roughnecks.
We looked up a Roughneck while you were gone, by the way.
Would you rather watch the Battlehawks and the Roughnecks or the NBA All-Star Game?
Battlehawks and the Roughnecks all day long.
I'm with you on that.
All day long. The NBA, I thought Will was on point today when he was talking about how the NBA has changed and it bothers him that they're all best friends now. The NBA I grew up on was the one my uncle played in, and they're fighting each other, and basketball was anything but a sissy sport. And it is just, it's just pool noodles and inflatables now, watching them play against each other.
We talked a lot about the Astros.
They had to put a fine in for flopping.
I know.
Basketball is barely better than MLS soccer. Like, that's how bad it has gotten, to the point where, like, you have to take people's money for just flop city.
Yeah.
I blame it on all the Euros in the game.
Zach Greinke has not reported yet to Astros spring training, and he won't, according to Dusty Baker, until February 22nd. Why? Quote, other than he's Zach Greinke, I've got no problem with that, Dusty Baker said.
Basically,
he's good. He doesn't want to show up.
He's really good, and when he gets here, he gets here, folks.
Yeah. You know, a lot of guys don't need the full spring training. I was in Arizona last week. I was at the Angels spring training complex because that's where our hotel was. I mean, I would go out there a week early because it's Arizona and it's much warmer than it is here. But you know what? If you're a Major League Baseball player that's been in for years, you don't need a full month.
He said he's still coming this month.
Yeah.
It's not like their first game is when, and he's going to show up a week before the game. You know what I mean?
He's going to show up the day of their first actual preseason game or spring training game.
Because to him, spring training is practice.
Yeah.
And practice is practice.
He's probably not going to
talking about practice.
Yeah, we're talking about practice.
Talking about practice.
Not a game. Practice.
Who cares? He's going to be there. He's coming on time.
He is. Hour number three of the Eric Haines Show's next. We'll give you a Tennessee-South Carolina preview and what went wrong for the teams that started the year in the top 25 and did not finish there. That's next. Coming to you live from Rusty Wallace Honda, intersection of selection. The 2020 upgrade event is live and this weekend only.
Yeah,
you can
buddy.
Upgrade your current vehicle for a similar 2020 vehicle at the same or maybe even a lower payment and 3 years no charge maintenance. That's here. Rusty Wallace Honda, FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.